Hello and welcome to MRA's 5-Minute HR Feed, the podcast where you get quick, practical information about a hot topic. In the time it takes to make a cup of coffee, you'll gain insights on hot topics and pressing HR issues. I'm your host, Rebecca Jacobs, and we are so glad you're here. Before we start, here's my usual disclaimer that the podcast is general information only and does not contain any legal advice. Now it's time to dive in. Today, we're going to talk about the two most interesting revelations in the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act final regulations. In a meeting last week at work, we talked about minivans and how some people have strong objections to driving minivans. For those of us who identify as Generation X, we fondly remember the station wagons of the 80s and piling as many kids as possible into the back. If you think about it, the station wagon was the original crossover vehicle, like what you see on the roads now. You don't want anything as big as a Suburban or other sport utility vehicle, but a regular car isn't going to cut it. So we take what's great about each type of vehicle and create a new one. So that's how I envision the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. It's a crossover between, on the one hand, Title VII's and the Pregnancy Discrimination Act's intent to level the employment playing field for pregnant workers, and on the other hand, the Americans with Disabilities Act's accommodation protections. So just like a regular car doesn't have the trunk space for your Costco bounty, Title VII didn't have the proactive accommodation piece. And just as the Suburban doesn't fit in your garage beside all of your bicycles, at least in my case, the ADA doesn't usually apply to pregnancy or its related medical conditions absent unusual circumstances. So here's a quick recap of what the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act does. It requires companies with 15 or more employees to reasonably accommodate the known limitations of employees and applicants related to pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions. The law itself, as written, left a few questions on the table, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission was tasked with writing regulations to answer those questions. They proposed a set of regulations last summer which seemed to expand the PWFA into unexpected territory. There were two territories which I found particularly interesting. First, what does, quote, in the near future, end quote, mean? So here's the background. A person is qualified under the law even if they can't perform the essential functions of their job, if their inability to do that is temporary, and they'll be able to perform those functions again in the near future, assuming that the accommodation can be made without any undue hardship. So take, for example, a delivery driver whose doctor imposes a 10-pound lifting restriction midway through her pregnancy. She'll be unable to lift over 10 pounds for the next 20 weeks. Now, that seems like a long time for a company to have someone who can't perform what they're supposed to be doing. So some of us might think that in the future means a couple of weeks or months, but the EEOC originally proposed 40 weeks, 4-0. I was curious to see how that would shake out in the final regulations. So in the final regulations, the EEOC both solidifies the 40 weeks for pregnant employees and muddies the water for everyone else. The EEOC created two buckets of in the near future. Bucket one is where the person is currently pregnant, and bucket two is for people who are experiencing childbirth or related medical conditions. So where the person is currently pregnant, in the near future is defined as 40 weeks because the EEOC wanted to tie that definition to the typical length of a full-term pregnancy. So our delivery driver is well within that scope. And the big question is, what's the accommodation and whether it creates an undue hardship? Now that undue hardship piece is a discussion for another podcast soon. For bucket number two, there's no time period set. Instead, it will be determined on a case-by-case basis. The only limitation is that in the near future does not mean indefinitely. Thanks for the clarity. This gray area is going to cause some headaches for employers until we get enough case law under the PWFA's belt to understand what the case-by-case analysis looks like. Lawyers will love this. The second territory of expansion I was monitoring surrounds the possibility that the PWFA as written or proposed would protect conditions such as menstruation or menopause hormonal shifts under the umbrella of related medical conditions. The EEOC clarified in the final regulations that the phrase related medical condition means in relation to pregnancy or childbirth. This takes all non-pregnancy-related medical conditions experienced by females, such as menstruation, period cramps, menopause, and other conditions which can be experienced outside of pregnancy or childbirth, out of the scope of the PWFA. To the extent that employers were concerned that they potentially would need to accommodate individuals' inability to perform essential functions due to painful cramps or menopause symptoms, this concern most likely, and I think probably certainly, can be shelved, but things like fertility treatments and abortion will be covered. Now, it's important to note that the term related medical condition is not just something that arises from pregnancy or childbirth. to the extent that pregnancy or childbirth exacerbates pre-existing conditions, those will be covered by the PWFA and entitle that employee to take advantage of the accommodation process. Another thing to keep in mind is that we're talking about limitations, not specific medical conditions. This is nicely framed by an example in the final regulations. I'm going to quote here. A pregnant employee who is seeking an accommodation to limit exposure to secondhand smoke to protect the health of their pregnancy has a physical or mental condition, parentheses, trying to maintain the employee's health or the health of their pregnancy or to address increased sensitivity to secondhand smoke, end parentheses, related to, affected by, or arising out of pregnancy. Now, that's all the time we have to explore this today, but we will cover undue hardship and requesting medical documentation in upcoming podcasts. Thank you for listening to MRA's 5-Minute HR Feed. For this episode, be sure to reference the show notes where you can sign up to connect for more podcast updates. If you have questions, you can connect with MRA's hotline team by emailing info@mranet.org or calling 866-474-6854. Check out other MRA episodes on your favorite podcast platform, such as MRA's 30-Minute Thrive. And as always, make sure to follow so you don't miss out. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll have another hot HR topic in 2 weeks.